Welcome to the weekly podcast all about turning the Great American RV Adventure into stress-less camping. Each week, we explore tips, tricks, ideas, and destinations, and talk to the happiest campers in the RV world. Pull up a seat at the campfire as we enjoy some stress-less camping.
It's too windy for a campfire.
Oh boy, is it ever. But I am still Tony.
I'm still Peggy.
And we're still two RV industry veterans who travel part-time.
In a small trailer.
Staying out of ERs and helping you share great... Wait, sorry, I'm not looking at the script.
And sharing great tips.
Tricks.
And discounts.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are going to try and keep you out of the ER today.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
But first, I want to repeat my thanks to the Girl Camper Organization for allowing us to be instructors to Girl Camper College.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we've been. We're here in Kansas. It has been a great week with a whole bunch of members of Girl Camper working to help them become stressless girl
right.
campers.
So we've told you before, we have a class that we call RV Basic Training. And when we teach it for Girl Camper, we get to use their name, Camper College. If you are interested in learning about your RV and you have a group of people that would like to do that, check us out, because we would love to come to you and help your group learn to be more stressless.
One of the nifty things about this time was people from the local GMC dealer hosted us there.
Yes.
One of the owners of the GMC dealer is a girl camper and helped to put this class on. But it was so cool because they arranged three different GMC pickups, and they wrote like in grease pencil on the windows what the cargo carrying and towing capacity was. And it was really interesting to see how different these three pickups were.
Yeah. It was very kind of hands-on, eyeballs-on experience in understanding what can a vehicle handle.
It really was a good visual demonstration, and they were pretty terrific. It was
Dutch Miller. Thank you, Dutch Miller,
GMC. Yeah, thank you, Dutch Miller, GMC in El Dorado, Kansas.
Yes.
They call it El Dorado.
They do.
But it's not a Cadillac El Dorado. It's a El Dorado. But whatever, it's El Dorado. We have a whole section on boondocking in our class. And in that section, we tell people that one of the ways you can practice for boondocking is not to hook up.
Right. You can go to a full service campground.
Yep.
Don't use the full services and see how well you like boondocking, how long your electrical system works with whatever you have, how long your fresh water and your dump tanks take to empty and fill, things like that. And so if you are thinking you might want to boondock, but you're not sure you can, that is our tip, is to try it at a campground. Now, we could be at this campground. We've been here like 5 nights. We could have been here without hookups.
Yeah. Well, if you discover, gosh, my battery system doesn't really last as long as I'd like it to, we know how to help you.
We have a solution.
And that solution is to call our friends at ABC Upfitters, who can basically transform your RV into whatever power capability your situation demands. So let's say you're like, well, I just don't want to bother coming back in. I just want to stay out for a very, very long time. Well, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you just want, no, I want my refrigerator to last 2 or 3 days and I have a 12-volt fridge. Well, they can do that. And the nifty thing is they actually will talk to you and listen to you and develop a system with you in mind that is based on what you tell them you want. And that, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
So if I were interested in finding out more about lithium and solar upgrades, how would I do that?
Well, if I were you, I would call ABC Upfitters at 574-333-3225. Or check out the link on stresslesscamping.com.
And it's in the podcast page or any of our deals and discounts. We have links to ABC Upfitters. They just do a good job.
Probably in the newsletter too, I bet you.
Absolutely in the newsletter. They're just good people that do good work and listen to you. And the stuff, they use MasterVolt components and it just works.
So give them a call at 574-333-333. 3225.
Indeed.
So we alluded a minute ago about keeping you out of the ER, which is why I have to listen to this episode several times.
Indeed.
But we are talking to our super great friend, Dr. Mike Trobeck. Really, all the things that he's going to suggest to us are not things that I did wrong. I just had some weird medical things pop up.
Well, fortunately, they seem to have mostly gone away. So
they
that's a good thing.
Pretty much gone away. You notice I'm back on the mic.
Yep.
I'm not trying to hide and hack myself through the day.
Back to abnormal.
That's right. So let's hear from Dr. Mike about keeping yourself safe for stressless camping. Today, we're super excited to be joined by a very good friend of ours who we don't get to see nearly often enough since he left us in New Mexico.
Well, wouldn't you move out of state if two weirdos moved in?
Well, come on. I do feel a little responsible. Dr. Mike Trobeck, we are so thrilled to have you with us today. And we want to talk about how to avoid meeting you in a professional way. Not that you're doing this now, but Mike worked in an emergency room for a long time. And with his experience and knowing what he saw come in, he wants to help you not have that experience.
Well, I am just excited to be here with you, Peggy and Tony. We haven't been camping with you enough, and we're looking forward to getting together this year.
Yes.
The camping season is getting up and going. Everybody's excited to be back on the road and out in the wilderness, and hopefully we can give them a tip or a trick that might save them a trip to the ER.
Yes.
Yeah, we think you and Lisa are awesome people to hang out with, but we wouldn't want to see you professionally.
Right.
I hear that a lot.
So you had said that you had some tips for people to help them stay out of the ER or even needing medical care. What you got?
We should start about talking about being kind of prepared for a trip. Before you even leave is when safety starts, right? You don't wait until you get on the road to think about things. You want to be prepared before you leave.
You're absolutely right. It's, you know, Peggy, it's no different than taking care of your camper or taking care of your vehicle. The best way to have a stressless, easy trip is to make sure that things are done before you depart home. When you're on the road, that's no time to be looking for that extra set of glasses or wondering if you filled your prescriptions before you left. So we, like you, are big fans of checklists. Lisa and I made our process a lot easier when we found a checklist that we could share and was interactive. And so if we check things off the list, it drops off your partner's list. And that's how we usually get things done to get ready.
That's good.
But like I said, like preparing your vehicle or your trailer, there's certain things that I always recommend people try to get done to prepare for their trips is in regard to their health. Like we said, getting your trailer and tow vehicle ready and making sure that's all taken care of, that reduces your stress. Some strictly medical things that people don't think of is if you have an off season, if you're not on the road all year long, trying to get that stuff taken care of while you're home. Get your physicals done. Get your colonoscopies, your dental visits, your eye visits, and try to get all that stuff done when you're not on the road so that you're ready when summer comes along.
Yeah.
There's three little specific things that I always encourage people. And so number one, a lot of us do wear eyeglasses. And I encourage folks that when you go for your visits and get your new eyeglasses, save your old pair and throw those in your camping box because, you know, the prescription might not be perfect, but it's still pretty good. And when your glasses get broken or lost and you're on the road, you'll be grateful that you have an extra pair in the emergency kit.
Yeah, something close enough is better than nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they aren't really that bad. You know, it's just been a small change in your prescription and you're able to make do with the old ones. So that's always a good thing. Medications, making sure your CPAP equipment, your medications, make sure that your refills are up to date. Ideally, we try to get our refills through a national, you know, Walgreens or a Walmart or Sam's Club, wherever you go. So if you end up on the road longer than you thought you would be and you're getting close to run out of your medications, it's nice to know you can drop into the Walgreens or Walmart and get them filled
right
while you're away from home.
Yeah, that's a good one. We have a few extra pills in our go bag. So if something really bad happens, at least we've got kind of a 2 or 3 day supply
right
on hand so that just in case.
Yep. And I do that too. I think that's a great idea, Tony. I just always encourage people to use those, rotate those into your stock, because sometimes people will have a week's worth of extra medications and they sit in the car past their expiration date, or they've been in the hot sun. So if you have extra because medications, doggone it, they're not cheap these days. So if you have them, try and rotate them through so you use them.
Yep.
That's very true.
So that's the habit I try to stay in, is when we get down to like the last 3 to 5 pills, I go and put that one in the emergency kit and take the ones out that were there for the last 90 days so he can take those first.
Yep, that's perfect. You know, another easy tip that people don't always know about, you know, most of our medical services now are going pretty online, digital, and connected. And I know that the organizations that we have worked for, they always have what's called an after-visit summary, or an AVS.
Yeah.
So you'll go and you'll see your doctor for your checkup or whatever, and at the end, they offer you an AVS. And I encourage people to take it and stash it in their emergency kit on the camper. Usually that AVS will include your doctor's name, your past medical history, medications, your vital signs, your surgeries. And if you do end up on the road and in the hospital, if you bring that AVS, it really gives somebody almost all of the information they need about your past medical history to try and provide care.
That's a great idea.
That's really something I hadn't thought of. It's a great idea.
I have 2 of those just from the past
month. Oh, well, congratulations.
We're not striving to collect them, Peggy.
Oh, whoops, sorry. Well, fortunately, my medical emergencies haven't been all that terrible. They were things I could have lived through, but I was really uncomfortable, and so knowing having urgent care available was nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to get that stuff done when you're away from home. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I encourage people is just obviously make sure you have your insurance information, your insurance cards, along with your vehicle insurance or whatever. And along with that, if people do have what we call advanced directives, such as durable power of attorneys or living wills, etc., it's probably a good idea to have that stuff along with you, because it's one of those things, if you have it, you'll never need it. And if you don't have it, you probably will. So throw it in the box.
Yeah. Do they accept, like, if you have that information as a PDF and store it on your phone or tablet, do most places take that as, okay, that's cool? Or
does it need to be the original wet signed document?
I would not trust the electronic document at this point, just because there's so much variability, not even state to state, but even amongst different providers or EMS providers. Mm-hmm. You may find that some will say yes and some will say no. And traditionally, we always used to tell folks, if they have that kind of paperwork, to have it stuck on the refrigerator. And that's kind of a universal place where EMS workers will know to look for living wills, etc. Like if they go into a house and somebody is unresponsive, they will look on their refrigerator to see if there's a living will, because that's where people, you know, would keep it, in a place they knew to look.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and if they don't have it, perhaps there's a good beer in the fridge or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
You never know what you might find.
Oh, well, they're hosed, but ooh, la la, there's a bourbon barrel stout Jesus. Right here.
A good 6-pack of Abita Amber.
Oh, boy. Let's not ask Tony why he was never an emergency personnel.
Ooh, cheesecake.
Well, they won't be needing this.
Yeah, they're not going to eat this.
Gosh.
That IV can wait. Don't worry about it.
That's terrible. Oh, man.
Gosh. All right.
You know, all the things that came to mind about preparing for a trip.
Yeah, I like it. And then you had also said you had some great tips for once you've left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like maybe on the driving day, I know that we all do some things that we don't or we do know that we shouldn't really be doing for safety's sake.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, travel, I think, unfortunately, we suffer some albatross effect, a lot of us campers, because we forget that you drive a vehicle all year long, but towing a vehicle or driving a motorhome, it's stressful. It doesn't matter how good at it you are, how long you've been doing it. It still adds an element of stress pulling, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12,000 pounds behind your camper in traffic and new environments, etc.
Yeah.
So I always encourage people about the rule of threes. We're trying to keep their days manageable and not too long. And I tell folks to make sure that they get, you know, a good night's sleep the night before and they're well hydrated and, you know, in a good state of mind for the drive, because not having your head in the game just isn't a good idea when you're towing your camper behind you.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, that goes back to checklists. And, you know, driving with while towing is not easy. You can get tired and sleepy a lot faster than you thought you would before. Some just physical issues about driving in the vehicle. Number one, I encourage people to try and be safe. I'm not a big fan of people sleeping in the front of the vehicle, especially the driver or the passenger. And I know it's tempting, you know, when you're the passenger and it's been a long day, you'd like to recline that seat and maybe catch a little bit of sleep. But a few issues. Number one, seatbelts are not made to work when an accident. That seatbelt just is not going to be able to perform the way it's supposed to with you lying down.
Right.
The airbags don't work well when you're reclined, etc. And also, you're not awake to interact with the driver to try and keep them on their toes and keep them awake.
Well, somebody's got to sit in the passenger seat and go, what are you doing?
Now. Did you
somebody to grab the oh heck handle.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yep. Airbags are designed to stop you from going through the windshield. So if you're one of those people that's tempted to really relax and stretch your feet out on the dashboard, I think I would really advise against that. The speed and force that airbags deploy at can really cause serious orthopedic injuries if your feet happen to be somewhere in the path of an airbag. So I strongly advocate against riding with your feet out the window or up on the dashboard or all those things that we used to do as kids. And it was fun, but it's just probably not a good idea.
Right. Well, when we were kids, there were no airbags.
Yeah, that's true.
I know there were no airbags.
That made sure you went feet first through the windshield.
Yeah. That's okay. Most of the time there were no seat belts either. So it didn't matter much.
A lot of people have seen videos of airbags deploying, and it kind of looks like it poofs out all slow and pillowy. And really, it's an explosion. It's actually a charged explosion to make that thing go off quick enough to save you in an accident.
Right. And you don't want your body in contact with that when it goes off.
No. Yeah. No, it'll make you, if your feet are on the dashboard, it can make you kick your own self in the head and break your hips at the same time.
Yep, that's kind of what happens. People end up with fractured hips and, you know, knees that hit them in the face. And it's just, it's ugly. Don't want to go there.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. The last useful advice that I give to folks during travel is to try and break their day up. Several reasons, you know, fatigue is hard. You're also on the road and there's a lot of fun things to see. You know, you can stop at the little brown signs and see the historical landmarks and the biggest ball of twine. But more importantly, I encourage people every hour and a half, 2 hours to get out. And even if they just make one or two laps around and check their tow vehicle and check their camper, but it significantly helps to decrease the risk of blood clots or deep vein thrombosis. That people can get for sitting too long. So that's kind of a big one. And I mean, it's kind of nice. I'm good for an hour and a half and fine to get gas or get out and walk around. And
yeah,
it's nice to stretch your legs, but also you do not want to be traveling with a blood clot.
Right. I don't think my bladder will ever allow me to drive for too long without stopping.
Yeah, that's you.
It used to be the gas tank on the truck, but now this truck can go a lot farther without stopping for gas. And I'm the one that actually has to ask for a stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of podcasts are an hour long, so you could listen to a podcast,
and
get
then
out,
take a break,
and
yep.
walk around mm-hmm. your RV and talk about it for a moment, and then get back in, listen to another episode of the Stressless Camping Podcast, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, or whatever. And, you know, and I think that's just about right. I mean, I'd like to get out and just take a peek at the hitch and the weight distribution, and maybe check the temperature on the hubs on the camper, and all that stuff probably takes 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and yeah. I have peace of mind and a little bit of exercise to get the blood flowing. And I think it just, in the long run, it just makes for a better trip.
Yeah, stressless camping.
Right.
Stressless camping. I think that's all of the helpful hints I have for travel.
Okay.
Sounds great to me.
Do you have any thoughts about staying safe while you're in camp?
Yeah, I do. Again, checklists. I mean, we can drill that home until the dogs come home, but it won't change. There are some things that we have a tendency, and I recommend people to do. Number one, when you arrive at your destination, maybe it's not something you planned on. Maybe it was a longer trip than you thought, and you are stopping at a Harvest Host or a Boondocker's Welcome, etc. But you should always know where you are.
Yeah.
Mostly because if anything happens and you need to access EMS, heard you guys interview the person from What Three Words a few weeks ago, and I was like, what a great concept that is.
Yeah, that thing is neat. We've been since using it and sharing our location with friends and such, and it's been very effective.
Yeah, but that is a really good use for it. And I always say, when we're in a campground, usually a campground gives you a piece of paper and it has all that location information on it. But as you said, if you're in a place that's not a campground with a site number, then you got to find your way somehow.
Right, exactly. And especially if you're going to be camping someplace for a week or 2 weeks, or if you have older campers or younger kids, when you get there, it's a good idea to find out where's the nearest urgent care. What's their phone number, the nearest hospital, you know, that kind of stuff. So when, you know, the child falls out of the tree at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not trying to figure out where to go. You know, it's nice to be prepared before you go.
That's a good tip.
And the other things about while you're camping, I think pretty much the other big thing for us is to have a halfway decent first aid kit. You don't need to be prepared for open heart surgery, but you do want to have the major bases covered with things like, you know, Tylenol or Advil and Band-Aids and ACE wrap and maybe an ice pack in the freezer for when you need it, and calamine lotion for poison ivy and sunscreen and those kind of things that you know you're going to need. And if you're camping in a tourist area, it's awfully expensive to go buy that stuff when you're on the road. So right. It's usually a better idea to bring it along with you.
Yeah, for sure.
My one other thing for the first aid kit, it's my favorite device, because we actually used to use these in the clinic. It's called a tick twister.
Oh.
T-I-C-K twister. And you can order them camping spots or Amazon. And they're just a little plastic tool, because you get ticks when you're camping, and especially if you have pets.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to easily and simply, safely remove deer ticks or wood ticks, because people get a little freaked out about creepy crawlies and critters.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a tick
and
twister.
And ticks can be kind of nasty.
Oh, ticks can be very nasty.
Yeah, we know somebody who got the Lyme disease.
Yeah, we see a lot of the Lyme disease here and anaplasma here in the Midwest. And they're even good for taking them off your dog. So, I mean, it's a $6 or $7 thing. It's easy to remove the ticks. They're reusable. Just keep them in your kit. It'll make your life a lot easier, because it really makes no sense for somebody to have to go to an ER to have a tick pulled off. I mean, that's something that most people and, you know, take care of at home. And
that's a great tip.
Yeah. We, in fact, that's are sitting here.
I know Tony's sitting there buying one on Amazon right now.
That's right. We were sitting there in the grass with the, we were just teaching Camper College.
Yeah, we sat in the grass.
And one of the ladies said, oh, I wonder if we're going to get ticks. And I'm like, oh gosh.
Yep.
We don't seem to have.
And not yet. Here in the Midwest, back in the Midwest, it's getting to be, we're already seeing ticks. So it's like those other things, shingles, et cetera. If you get Lyme disease once, you don't ever want to do that again. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we talked to a dude a while back who became part of a company that sold portable RV saunas because of his Lyme disease.
Yes, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I think those are about all my little tips.
They're very good.
Very good tips.
I hope something's helpful.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And, you know, like I said earlier, some of these tips people are going to say, well, of course, I know that. But it's a good reminder, even if you already know it. And if you didn't know it, now you know it. And if it's things that, and if you practice every single one of these things every day on every trip, good on you. You get a gold star.
That's right.
Well, as we're getting ready to hit the road here in a few weeks, I'm a firm believer that anything you can do to make your trip safer, more fun, less stressful, it's worth, you know, the extra effort you may have to put into it to get ready beforehand, et cetera. But
yeah.
We look forward to camping and going out so much, especially with us with long winters here again. You know, if you can do some little things to make your trip and your camping more enjoyable, that's a no-brainer in my book.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Our last question is something that we like to ask, and that is about your best RV camping memory.
Boy, that's a I know I hear this on your show a lot. That's a tough one. Because I think that, you know, we believe in sprinkles, which are highlights. And we try to have some fun parts of every camping trip. But I will say that a few years ago, we met all the kids. Our kids are all grown. And we met them all for camping up in Door County here in Wisconsin. And it was one of those weekends where the weather was nice and the food was good and you had family and friends and loved ones. And it was one of those weekends that it was like, this is why we camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
When it's good food and the weather's decent and you're someplace beautiful and all your friends and family are around, it's just, it's fantastic. Magical. You know, it's one of those, that's why people started camping to begin with.
Right.
So I'd say that's probably one of my favorites.
Awesome. So do you have a worst camping memory where you really had to look for those sprinkles?
Well, back way, way, way back in probably the 80s when in the military and we tent camped, some friends and I decided we would go camping. We were stationed in California and we were going to go camping up north in California. And we had planned out this hike. We were going to hike over this range and into this little valley on the other side. And we were going to stay a couple nights. Well, the trip up turned out to be a lot more problematic than we anticipated. And when the sun went down, we weren't down in the valley. We were up on top of the mountain.
Uh-oh.
And all we had was, you know, our tent. We were probably underprepared, and it started snowing at night and it was windy, and it was one of those nights where you just hope you're going to make it through to the next day. And you know, we woke up the next morning and got all the snow off the tent and had to hike back down, and we were cold and we were hungry, and but it was beautiful, and you know, we were with friends, and it's another one of those camping trips where we probably should have done things differently, but at the end of the day, we still had a great time and a good story to tell. So
those are the kinds of worst stories that I like.
Yeah.
a story about a bad experience, but it has a good moral and a good outcome.
Yeah, that's barely bad. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we sure do appreciate you taking time to talk with us. We sure miss hanging out with you, but we will be up your way pretty soon and we'll do some camping together. And hopefully it'll be on the good memory list and not the bad memory list. Maybe I'll stay out of the hospital.
Oh, come on. You're asking for the moon there.
Well, we look forward to camping and seeing you guys. And we'll bring the Chick Twister just in case.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Looking forward to seeing you guys and talking to you. Have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you. Love to Lisa.
Yeah, love to Lisa. And thank you for your time. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, you know, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Okay. Likewise.
Did you make our camping reservations?
No, everything's full. We might have to rethink our trip.
No way. Did you look at Boondocker's Welcome? You remember they have hosts all over the place where we can stay free. Some that are totally off-grid camping and some with partial and even full hookups. There's all kinds of great places to overnight.
Of course. And we even have a coupon code to join Boondocker's Welcome on our partners page. You could save $5 when you sign up. How could I forget? There are all kinds of great places we can find on the Boondocker's Welcome website. Our trip is saved.
And speaking of saving money, we will, since there's no charge to stay at any Boondocker's Welcome site. It's the best deal out there, and it's a great way to meet local hosts and stay in local places and expand our journey.
Well, I'm going to finish planning our epic road trip, and it's going to be even better with stays we find on the Boondocker's Welcome website. And it's so easy to locate hosts along your next epic adventure.
We went somewhere, and we had been asked to go there. Most of the time, people ask us to leave.
To go away.
Right? But
these people didn't know us.
They didn't know. Poor people. We got to stay in Livingston, Texas at Two Creeks Crossing Campground.
Yes.
Or actually, it's resort.
Resort, yeah.
And you know us, we're not...
We're not necessarily resort kind of people, but I gotta say, every once in a while, when we get an opportunity to stay at a resort, sit in a hot tub, have clean laundry, maybe beautiful extra long showers, on occasion, it's not so bad.
Well, some of these resorts, when you go in, you just feel like I don't belong here.
Well, there is that.
Right?
Yeah.
And this place was very accommodating. They were really friendly people.
Really nice and friendly.
And if I could design a campground, I think this would be what I'd do.
Yeah, it was a well laid out campground. It was really nice. So this campground, resort, I guess is what we should call it because it's more than a campground. There's plenty of camping.
Yeah.
Then there's also a whole section, 20 or more, around the corner behind some trees of covered campsites that are better for if you're there for a long term and you need to be covered to, you know, protect yourself from the Texas heat maybe or something like that.
I like that they put the long-term camping in its own space and they're covered. It really seems to make a lot of sense.
Now, they didn't have a whole lot of long-term people there, but, you know, you've been in campgrounds where there's some long-term people there and those sites just have a way of things kind of accumulating and piling up outside the camper, and you can kind of tell that someone's been there a long time. So it's kind of nice. I don't believe that they would let it get really junky, but it's kind of nice that those kinds of rigs are separated from the people who are just there for the weekend.
Yeah, that was good. They also had what amounted to almost a whole neighborhood of cabins.
Gosh, yes. They had a lot of, I don't know how many cabins because we took a walk to see them. And we went on the shorter street that had cabins. We didn't go on the longer road that had cabins, and I don't know how many we missed. But there are a bunch of cabins, and one of the cabins is called a treehouse, and I don't know if you can call it a cabin. It was pretty big.
Well, it was on stilts, basically.
Right.
And the main floor, or, you know, the ground floor, had provision for games, and they had hammocks and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so the bottom floor was so big that it was a great group campsite.
Yeah, for sure.
The whole thing was really impressive. And since it's fairly new, I think the place has been there for a year, it was immaculate. Another thing that they had was what's called an ice house.
Yeah, well, but let's finish the accommodations. They also have a few yurts.
Yeah.
And I found a window that I could peek through, and the yurts are very you know, kind of cabin-like inside. They had beds and kitchenettes and I assume a bathroom, although I couldn't really see one. And then they also had another area, kind of in a whole different part of the park, that were glamping tents. So they were kind of big square tents. We couldn't see inside any of those. And I don't know how much furniture and such that they have inside those, but those you had to walk to. So you could park in the parking area and walk to the tents, but they were also like nicely spaced with their own little patios and front porches and just a really nice, a lot of different ways to stay. And, you know, if you have a group of people and some don't have campers and they need cabins or some like yurts or some want to try out a glamping tent, this is a great place. It's got it all in one place.
Yeah, that's for sure. And another thing they have is as I was saying, an ice house.
Oh, yeah, the ice house.
So apparently, looking this up, there is, if you are from Texas, ice house was, you know, place where you would buy ice and eventually grew to become grocery stores. Mm. And so some folks there call a grocery store an ice house or like a convenience store.
Oh.
And so that's apparently the history of ice houses.
Well, what we saw was some bars that were called ice houses.
Yes, we did. So it seems like that's the latest. And they had a bar there that had daiquiris and frozen drinks, but some great beer choices and some like bar food,
like
I guess.
Like bar food, like the stuff they can take out of the freezer and put in a fryer or something.
Yeah, and then they had live music on Saturday
night.
Yes,
yeah.
So that live was
also music
cool.
And games out on a lawn. And
yep.
It was just a really very family friendly, but also just, you know, relaxing.
Yeah.
And fun and lots of things to do. So if you decided you wanted to get involved in, well, we happen to be there on Easter weekend. So if you wanted to get involved in the Easter activities with your kids, there was lots of stuff going on and it was just fun to see.
Yeah. We really liked it. We would absolutely go back.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, they had pickleball courts. They had, since it was new, they had a big swimming pool, but it was one of those where you kind of walk in.
Yeah.
Instead of having steps. So, I mean, theoretically, you could
roll in
or, you know, whatever.
And then also a hot tub that we took good advantage of.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And the bathrooms, I don't know if they took a lesson from Bucky's, which is known for immaculate, beautiful bathrooms. But boy, they had them. They were immaculate and
they were
beautiful.
Great. Yeah. I even got to do some laundry. They had a great, nice laundry room and good working space at a business center. So while I was doing laundry, I was also in the business center working.
Yeah, a good place. We liked it. So two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Four, if you count both
of us.
Four
thumbs, yeah. Two from each of us.
Well, did we have this week's recipe there?
Yeah, I've been slacking a little bit because I just haven't been feeling well. And I didn't get a recipe up last week. And so I'm ready this week with Marilyn's apple crisp recipe. Apple crisp is a pretty simple thing to make. And also, you know, this could be made with pears because we used to make pear crisp a lot when we lived in pear country in Northern California.
That's for sure.
But apple crisp is a pretty easy recipe anyway, so surely easy to do in the camper. It doesn't really take much counter space. So what you need is 4 apples chopped up, and then you make kind of your crumble crisp topping with brown sugar, flour, and oatmeal, and of course cinnamon and nutmeg and butter.
Mm.
Lots of butter, of course.
How much butter, y'all?
And then you just put your apples in a baking dish, mix all that other stuff up and put it over the top and bake it. And Marilyn said she has done it over a campfire in a disposable foil pan.
Ooh.
And I think this is one of those, like if you're pretty good at controlling the heat, this would be a great cast iron Dutch oven type of recipe out on the fire or, you know, or with your briquettes. But
yep.
I think that would really impress people if you popped up with a container of ice cream and a hot, warm, fresh apple crisp.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. I want some right now.
This week we have a nifty little gadget that was sent to us by a company called Bouge RV. Bouge RV is a group of people who like camping and want to make things that make camping better. And what we have is a smaller portable power station.
But not too small.
No, not too small.
Not like pocket size to just only charge your phone, but not ice chest size that you can't carry around.
Right. So this is, I would say it's like half a shoebox high, but about a shoebox in size. And it weighs like 6 pounds. It's got two USB-C charge ports, a USB-A. It's got a light. It's got a power port or cigarette lighter adapter. And then it's got a single household 120-volt outlet on it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot for the size. It's relatively compact. What I found this is really good for is charging laptops, cameras, that sort of thing. It will charge the laptop, our laptop, which I have a MacBook Pro. It'll charge it 3 times according to Booge RV.
Okay.
I charge the iPad with it. I've charged our mics with it. And it's a good, it'll fit in a backpack. Now, again, it's 6 pounds, so it's not super light, but it's not really heavy.
If you're strong and like a heavy backpack, it's
ideal.
Well,
there's that. That's right. There's your weight loss program or your muscle building is lift up your backpack. Boy, lift up my backpack. You're going to need to go to the hospital. But anyway, it's a convenient size depending on what you want to charge, right? Like if I go out for the day and I bring the GoPro and phones and anything else like that, this would be a natural to have with me. If I go to make a Costco run and I want to keep an ice chest running in the truck, this would be a good choice. It won't run that ice chest for a lot of hours, but it'll certainly cover a Costco run.
Okay.
If I had a drone, which may happen soon.
Wait,
it would be good to take this out and keep that charged. So
it would, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I see it. They mention using it for a CPAP on their website. I'd be real careful with that only because I think you may exceed what this can do. It's only 240 watt hours.
Only if you sleep for short amounts of time.
Yeah. I would say you'd want something more capable than this for that, unless you have a very efficient CPAP, right?
Sure.
But as with any of these, know what you can do. It charges either by a little 12 volt input, or you could use your USB-C. And that's how I've been charging it. I use the MacBook's power adapter and I fill this thing back up when we have power, or I've charged it off our MasterVolt system in our RV. So yeah. Might work out. I've got an article and a video review at our home on the web at stresslesscamping.com. This week's RV of the week is the same floor plan as our Rockwood Mini Light 2205S, and it's from our friends at Ember, and it's the Ember RV Touring Edition 20FB, and Ember makes 3 series. They make the Overland, which are designed kind of for heavy-duty off-road type RVing. They make the E-series, which are the Essential. They're a little bit more affordable. And they make the Touring Edition, and this one is part of the Touring Edition. And what this is it's a smaller single-slide camper where the kitchen's on one side and there's a couch on the other that has a place for 3 hind ends, or you could fold down the middle backrest and now you have
a place for 2 hind ends and 2 beer cans.
Right, and there's power and then the theater seats. And then a queen-size bed at the front, but something that really impressed the heck out of me is the attention to detail in here. There's a tremendous number of cabinets. There are amber reading lights so that you don't, you know, freak out your eyes at night.
Nice.
You can get various solar and lithium packages, of course. They have an aluminum cargo box on the front where the propane tanks are, and you can put tools or stinky slinky supplies, all of that stuff. This thing has a lane change assist, I guess. And what this does is it sees if someone's in the lane next to you and turns on a light at the front of the camper. So you can make a safer lane change. Another thing common with Ember, when you turn on your turn signal, I know that's something nobody from California does, but for the rest of you, when you turn on your turn signal, it flashes the turn signals and the side marker lights and marker lights up at the top so the trucks see better. That, I think, should be a mandatory safety feature, honestly.
Yeah.
Ember is one of the only companies that can certify their RVs to be 0 to 110 degrees campable. Now, most companies will say something like winter ready or polar package or whatever malarkey they put. Ember actually puts their RVs into a chamber and tests them and certifies them for that climate. Another thing that just blew me away on this is Ember put in a provision to run a Starlink cable into the RV. And it's essentially what we've done with this trailer, but it's designed in from the factory. So if you want to run in Starlink or, you know, an antenna cable for ham radio or whatever, there's a provision there. And it's just the kind of stuff a company does where the decision makers actually go RVing.
Yeah.
And that's something I really like about Ember. They also have their Stargazer window over the bed, and I really like that. It's got a radiant foil shade, so if you don't want the light in, it doesn't have to come in, or you can open it and get airflow or stand up and look at the stars, whatever. A lot of things I really like about this trailer, and I'll put a link to the review, but I just really like the things I'm seeing from Ember, and they just continue to impress me. Ember RV Touring Edition 20FB.
All right. So last week, because I didn't feel very good, we didn't get to the question of the week, but Tony asked a new question, so I have 2 weeks' worth of answers to give. 2 weeks ago, we asked, what is your favorite two-lane road? After we talked to Nick Russell, our friends over at A Less Intense Life spent a week last summer in Vermont on Route 100. Kate loves Route 12 in Utah between Bryce and Capitol Reef. Ingle likes Highway 49 in California through Gold Country and Highway 128 from US 101 to California 1. Those are some great Northern California routes. Nancy likes Highway 64 across North Carolina from the coast to the mountains. Bill has several favorites. One is Route 7 in Western Connecticut and Massachusetts. Route 17 in the low country of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. And Route 30, the Lincoln Highway in Ohio and Indiana. And he also, I think, particularly likes the portion of Route 66 that goes through Oklahoma because he likes the blue whale.
That's also where Buck Adam is, the muffler man.
In Oklahoma, yes. Bill also says he likes just about every road in northern Michigan. RV Boho Boomer says any road that they can use instead of the interstate. Steve likes lots of them in Michigan, especially the UP. David's number one is the Blue Ridge Parkway through North Carolina. And Kate's favorite is US 2 that goes through Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Larry likes the Million Dollar Highway in Southwest Colorado. He says it's terrifying and drop-dead gorgeous at the same time. And we did take the 2205 that way
a couple of summers ago. Our trailer over that. Yes. And you're right. It was terrifying and beautiful. Well, it wasn't really terrifying, but it was beautiful.
And Katie also has done it with her 2205.
Yep.
Donald's favorite is Highway 12 in northern Nebraska, the east to west road. The east to west road. Fun and beautiful. And it will slow you down unless you're a total... Oh, you will slow down, he says, unless you're a total idiot. That is kind of a... It sounds like a good warning. So that was our question of the week 2 weeks ago. Last week then, because Tony talked about food, his question for the week was, what regional foods have you found that you like? And, of course, I'm going to love all these answers because food... Hello. I'm back on my feed again.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's see. So Bill really likes beef on Weck in Western New York. Key lime pie, of course, in the Southeast U.S. I don't know why we didn't talk about that.
Yeah,
we went
that's
on
true.
Such a key lime pie quest when we were in Key West.
Easy for you to say.
Right?
I think we
ate key lime 2 or 3 times a day trying to find the best one.
Well, that was our goal, is to find the best key lime pie.
Right. And Bill also likes Boudin, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. We have some in our freezer right now.
We do. Cindy recommended Runza sandwiches in Nebraska.
Now, I wonder what that is.
I think that's a sandwich shop, but apparently they're really good sandwiches. So we'll be in Nebraska later this summer sometime, so we'll have to check that out.
Yep.
Tony has me very intrigued. He says crackling cornbread and collard greens.
Mm-mm, collard greens.
I don't know if that
them.
Should have been a comma with like cracklings and cornbread, or if he means crackling cornbread, and I'm kind of curious what that might be.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy loves Navajo tacos, and I do too. Those are really good. Oh, and then we got an answer from Bill that says he forgot to add the big three of Long Island food. Bacon, egg, and cheese on a Kaiser roll, pizza, and bagels.
Yep, that's something we're hoping to go to New York later this year. And that's something I absolutely want to try is New York pizza.
Because
I've had Pogo's and it's the best I've ever had. So we'll see, New York.
We'll see.
We're coming for you.
So that was our questions from last week. This week, we'd like to know, how many RVs have you had? And we're going to add in that, not just RVs. If you've had tents, if you've camped in your car, that counts as your RV. If you had big tents, little tents, just for fun, how many different camping situations have you had?
And where would I answer those?
Well, you're going to answer those and all the questions of the week and ask your own questions and whatever you'd like to do there at the Stressless Campers Facebook group.
And you can link to that from our website at stresslesscamping.com. Go there and check out all the things to check out. And there are links at the top of the page to go to our Stressless Campers Facebook group.
But before you leave, make sure you sign up for the newsletter.
Yep, we only do it once a week. It's free. And I have a prize to send to somebody in the next few weeks. It is the Bouge RV power station that we talked about this week.
Oh.
All you have to do is be on that list. That's it. It's that simple. And
then you have to read the newsletter.
You have to read the newsletter.
You're going to hide your name somewhere in that newsletter.
Darn tootin', that's exactly how I'm going to do. So anyway, to sign up, just visit our website and know that we never share your information and we're too lazy to send more than one email per week, period. And you can find out this week on the email newsletter some of the adventures and misadventures that we've had in the past week. And that's all I'll leave it at.
Yeah. Also on the website, you can find the show notes for our podcasts. And this podcast episode is number 251. So check out the podcast page at stresslesscamping.com and you'll be able to read the notes and find the links for everything we've talked about today.
And don't forget, that's also where you'll find our discounts and deals for the best things you'll need on your stressless camping adventure.
And you know, we always ask you this, if you know of a discount or a deal or a fantastic product that we don't already know about, please let us know. We would love to share that with the rest of the listeners.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we are in all the social places, but start at stresslesscamping.com and you can jump off to find us where you like to be social.
Indeedy. And if you don't want to miss a future episode of the Stressless Camping Podcast, it's free to subscribe on any podcast app, and we are saving you a seat around our virtual campfire.
And you know that a review will help others find this podcast, and more listeners is more better, because that means we can get better discounts and super cool guests like Mike and all of that. So we really appreciate your reviews.
We also really appreciate if you share our content. If you find something on our website that you like, or if you find a post that you like that we've put on Facebook, just hit the share button. Let your friends know about us too.
That's what we have for you this week. We really appreciate your being here once again. 251 episodes strong.
Shoosh.
I know, crazy, isn't it? Thank you so much for being here and
Stressless Camping.
We hope you learned a lot and had some fun and got some tips for your next stressless camping adventure. We're honored by your reviews on Apple Podcasts, which helps others find us too. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss out on the adventure, and we look forward to your joining us next week. Until then, happy camping!
Yeah, okay. And if they don't have it, perhaps there's a good beer in the fridge or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
You never know what you might find.
Oh, well, they're hosed, but ooh, la la, there's a bourbon barrel stout Sleepers. Right here.
A good six-pack of Abita Amber.
Oh, boy. Let's not ask Tony why he was never an emergency personnel.
Ooh, cheesecake.
So they won't be needing this.
Yeah, they're not going to eat this.
Gosh.
That IV can wait. Don't worry about it.